words resting on my mind, you will find in the chapter we read, the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, verses 18, 19 and 20. 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 18, 19 and 20. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The Lord was conscious of the needs, the pathway of his dear people. And we gather somewhat of the character of the pathway from his remarks here. It was to be a lonely pathway. It was to be a pathway of sorrows and suffering. Equally, we see here the blessed truth that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. The incarnation brought Christ here into this world, and we read it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. I've proved it over the journey. That he does understand, and that this blessed word has been fulfilled in my pathway. I will not leave you comfortless. The footsteps of his dear people are ordered. Oh, to have a sight, I've had it at times, powerfully had it. To never forget sometimes in the deep waters and the fires of the journey, the blessed comfort of the words, the government. He is upon his shoulders. It may seem to be a storm and a tempest, and we are alone in it. It is our burden, our sorrow, our suffering, our wounds, but the government, I've seen it, is upon his shoulders. And dear Job, under a realization of that, could truly say, he knoweth the way that I take. And there is something in this, you know. The Lord would isolate his dear church. He would take them apart, that they suffer alone. They look to none for help, none for comfort except him. He would do business with them, spiritually that is, in deep waters. And he would commune with them alone. Husband apart, wife apart, children apart. The Lord works in their souls. And this text here before us tonight speaks of the lonely pathway. I will not leave you comfortless, it says. The margin reads orphans. Beautiful word. Isolated. I will not leave you comfortless. And that tells us, you know, that there are parts of the journey, some of them when we are utterly alone, and he comes in precious comfort. Sometimes, perhaps, a hospital bed, I've known it, utterly alone. Need to go to the theatre, bow down under many temptations, fiery temptations, weak and trembling, and he's come. Oh, the peace, the comfort, his presence. This beautiful word, I will come to you. And he does. He comes in the pathway and he speaks with almighty power. And there is strength in his presence. We have to go, as it were, to rock bottom and stagger to and fro, as the 107th Psalm says, like a drunken man at our wit's end. And they cried unto the Lord. It may only be the upward glancing of an eye. But he hears, he knows, he watches over his dear people. And he has brought them into these places, given them some solemn thorns in the flesh, messengers of Satan to buffet them. And it has been the means of them crying to the Lord. Thrice, says the apostle, I besought him, and the Lord drew near. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And he came to his dear servant. He said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. It is, you know, we shan't need anything else. We shan't, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And the apostle, under the dealing of God with his soul, could truly say most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmity. The bitter cup, the sorrow, the suffering, the power of Christ may rest upon me. And when the power of Christ rests upon us, and he comes in this lovely verse, I will come to you. Dear friends, there's not a cloud between our souls and him. The darkness is removed, and the Sun of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. And we know the strength of the truth when most. When we're under the darkest clouds, when his face is hidden from us, when our hearts are full of fear and temptation, when we feel orphans alone, then when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And what a blessing there is in it. I will come to you. And what teaching there is in it. And what the revelation of his faithfulness. What sweet comfort there lies here. The children of God in the pathway come many times to this place comfortless. They come into some barren, solemn places where the heavens are as iron and brass, and where, as we read in the last two verses of the 50th of Isaiah, and it is the place that the Church of God walks in feelingly, that she comes here, and who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And we see in the case of the Lord's dear servant Job how the Lord came. And I believe there lies in this truth when Christ comes. Oh, I have passed through some bitter sorrows at times, heavy crosses, deep wounds, and he's led me to this. Consider him. It is not just that he comes, it's more than that. He gives to us a precious understanding of all that he suffered for us. How he himself walked the pathway alone. They all forsook him and fled. His own dear disciples. He has walked that way himself. Oh, I remember one night in the heat of a deep affliction, dreading to enter the pulpit, feeling unable to preach, when as I put my foot on the first step of the pulpit, the Lord said with such savour, consider him. Then I understood, he knoweth the way that I take. He passed that way. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. We are wearied. We do faint in our mind. We have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. And the Lord brings his dear people as he did Rutherford when he said the hedge of thorns was sharp. It was a solemn, tortuous path the Lord called him to walk in. But when he came, oh how he had a blessed sight of the sufferings of Christ for him, of the lonely, isolated path he walked, of the deep sorrows he walked in, of the wounds he received, and of that cup that he spoke of in Gethsemane, this cup. The hymn writer says we do at best but taste the cup. But it is a divine favour to be brought into those crucifying sorrows and sufferings, for we shall never taste the cup he tasted otherwise. And I believe the dear Church of God has to come there, think it not strange. We do think it strange. I've always thought it strange. When brought into solemn crucifying fiery paths, think it not strange. Oh, how we have to learn. Concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But rejoice. Oh, what a divine work that is. When the Lord comes, I will come. When he draws near, there is a little sweet rejoicing. It's heaven the Lord gives in the hearts of his dear people. Nothing this world could ever do. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are made partakers of the sufferings of Christ. The dear Church of God in her sorrows and sufferings, as in his dear hand when sweetly led of the Spirit to consider him, then she has a blessed sight of his sufferings for her. And here is the comfort. It is what John the Apostle speaks of, John the Divine, in his letters. Truly, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And oh, the fellowship is the sacred fellowship of those who have walked out that same pathway and have a sweet union in the way. And the Lord will bring his dear people into crucifying sorrows, that they might have a little sweet fellowship with him in his suffering, and walk with him, commune with him. I'll come to you. Oh, he draws near and grants them such a sight of what he passed through for them. And dear friends, it fills their heart with love to him. There is, in the deepest, most sacred, blessed sense of that word that is so abused, but there is a reality in it, a depth. He grants to them fellowship. Fellowship with him in his suffering, in his sorrow, in all the path that he walked. We read of him in the Epistle to the Hebrews, in that second chapter, it became him for whom are all things, that is God the Father, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succour, that is comfort, them that are tempted. I will not leave you comfortless. It is a precious word of promise to his people. I will come to you. And he does. He comes and draws near. He speaks into the souls of his church by his Spirit with almighty power. He leads them into the truth. And in that leading into the truth, he comforts them. He opens their eyes and gives them understanding in the way. We see the sanctified affliction of Job bearing precious fruit. I have heard of thee, he said, by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. There has been precious union, a sight by faith, as we read of it here. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Precious truth. Revelation of the Spirit. Ye see me. Oh, what have we seen of Christ? Job said, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. We read of dear Abraham. Abraham saw my day. You know, it was in a deep, isolated trial of faith, as alone he took Isaac to raise the knife over him on Mount Moriah. Oh, the power. Christ said, Abraham saw. Oh, he passed through a bitter, bitter path of the fiery trial of his faith. Thine only Son, whom thou lovest. We cannot comprehend what it meant to him to raise the knife, not only over the only Son whom he loved, but over the promises God had given him. And the Apostle Paul, as he meditated on that, he spoke of how he received him in a figure from the dead, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, whereof he received him in a figure. He was led into the deepest fiery furnace. Here is the wood and so on, but where is the sacrifice? And oh, the depths to which he went down, God will provide a sacrifice. The sufferings of dear Abraham, bitter cup. I've always looked at the remarkable words of the Lord as he left Mount Moriah. Beautiful words in blessing. I will bless thee. As far as his God was concerned, that pathway was a blessing. Abraham saw my day. As he saw the blood shed on that altar of the ram caught in the thicket, in all his suffering sorrow, sacrifice of the Passover was eaten with bitter herbs. The pathway of God's dear church will contain the reality of that bitterness. Will indeed. We have to walk through bitter paths. We do indeed. To come into fellowship with him. It is in the deep paths of sorrow and the wounds of life's journey and all its solemn afflictions that we shall learn the blessed nature of this truth. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his refuge. We shall never learn it anywhere else. Then we shall know the sweetness of these words, I will not leave you. He won't. Oh, how we see in the path of his dear people that he has spoken as he did to Joseph. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. We doubt him so often. We tremble in the way. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And here, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in the nature of this truth that was laid in the hearts of his dear disciples, ye see me. Oh, when he comes, we shall see him by the eye of faith. We shall be deeply conscious of his presence. We shall bask in the strength that he gives us. That is the strength of faith. We shall know the sweet peace that is spoken of in the chapter here, my peace. When he comes, there's peace. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He comes and he draws near and there's peace. Faith is in sweet exercise. I think of Elijah on Carmel, you know. The trial was vast. He was alone. None to help him. What good were they? Oh, his God was with him. And he knew it. Stood alone before the priests of Baal. And his God was with him. The fire descended. All the command he gave. The water that was to be poured on the sacrifice and fill the trenches. But his God came, justified him. He did indeed. Appeared on his behalf. And the rain descended. Oh, the precious nature of Carmel. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you when most we need his helping hand. God's dear servant knew something of the nature of this truth, and ye see me. Not with our natural eyes shall we behold the Lord, but he saw him. And you know, the day came when that same Jesus stood with him on the Mount of the Transfiguration. And he viewed him there as he viewed him on Carmel. His God, ever-present help in time of need. And he knew the sweetness of his presence as he knew it then. And when he ran before the chariot of Abraham, oh, the liberty in his heart. The sweet peace in his soul. The presence of his God. Why, he was before his eyes as that one who would never leave him nor forsake him. That ever-present hell. And he walked in the sweet liberty and ran in the sweet liberty of the gospel. And yet, you see, we mustn't leave it. Suddenly, he took his eyes off his God. And when Jezebel spoke, he fled. Yet, we see there, as he lay down at night in bitter sorrow and felt he desired to die, so faithless, so unbelieving, yet I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And the Lord did come. Beautiful, beautiful opening of that psalm. His mercy endureth forever. Coming in every other verse, how Elijah knew it. And the Lord drew near and said, arise and eat, the journey's too great for thee. Very precious word. Arise and eat, the journey's too great for thee. In the depths of his sorrows and in his darkness and in his utter unworthiness and the condemnation he felt in his dear heart, the Lord drew near and proved to him that he was that same Jesus yesterday, today and forever. The dear man knew it, Carmel. As he lay that night in the cave, and when the Lord took him to heaven in a chariot of fire, he was the same Jesus. Unalterable, unchangeable. Ye see me. Oh, what a precious truth it is. His dear people do see him. Just as Daniel did in the lion's den, as the three men did in the fire, they saw him. They knew his presence. He was with them. As the apostle did in the storm in the Mediterranean, he was there. And he does. He comes in the path of his dear people. I've proved it in the deepest, darkest hours, the deepest waters, the most fiery temptations. Ye see me. I do believe that there's something very special about his visits. They coincide with the darkest hours of life's journey. They do indeed. They're never to be forgotten. We don't walk in the sweetness of it every day, and yet those precious moments when the Lord has drawn near, as his dear prophets have known in times past, and his dear apostles, they have such a sight of him. They're conscious, they feel him present, they know him near, they hear his voice, the sweet promises are applied to their hearts and they're to be used and pleaded. Why, Jacob, when the Lord blessed him at Jabbok, ye see me, and he blessed him there. When he took Abraham to Mount Moriah, Abraham saw my day. Or can we look back in the journey to sweet moments when we have seen him, known his presence, and come to where Job came, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But ye see me. And oh, the truth that lies here. The world seeth me no more, but ye see me. The disciples did see him, blessedly. And oh, how his church sees him. She does. And then he adds this, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, the truth that lies here. I see that tonight just one aspect, and that is this, spiritually. work of grace in his dear people's heart, indestructible, cannot be touched. Oh, we see him speaking here of that resurrection and ascension to glory because I live, that eternal life, never to be touched, because I live, that is eternally in heaven, ye shall live also. Precious truth that lies here, that divine work of grace and that eternal life in glory to come, all spoken of here in the word of Christ to his dear disciples. The world seeth me no more, but ye see me. By faith they viewed him. Oh, the sight the dear men on the road to Emmaus had of him when their eyes were opened as he broke bread. He vanished out of their sight. They went on their way rejoicing. Why? They saw him. They knew he was alive. Have you known that? I believe I have. Oh, to know that he is listening, hearing, present with us, and to feel his mighty power, to feel those everlasting arms underneath, to know that precious balm of Gilead flow into our hearts, to have fellowship with the man of sorrows. We have to go into some deep valleys to understand it and to enter into it. And I believe God's dear servants must inevitably, if the Lord will, as he does, use them in Zion, then they must go through peculiar paths, deeper waters than the church of God is often asked to go through, peculiar sorrows and sufferings, that they may be used of God to reach down into the footsteps of the flock. For their ministry to be such as have dipped their foot in oil, and that includes the wounds, for the oil is the healing. Oh, to dip their foot in the sorrows of their master, and to know a little of that precious balm in their hearts and its sorrow. They are orphans in this sense that is spoken of here, if the Lord is ever to use them. They must walk alone, and they must speak and preach as John the Divine spoke and preached in that beautiful opening chapter of his letters, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Lovely words. That's where the ministry lies, profitably. When God's servants have passed that way, things they've actually handled and have been burnt into their souls in bitter sorrows, then they can preach of them. And then their ministry carries a savour and an authority. And often we've not, when we've sat in the pew and listened to those godly men that are gone to glory now, not understood all they've passed through until perhaps later on we read their biography and then we realised. I remember when I wrote the life of my late father, Alfred Lovell told me that at Leatherhead on a particular, I think, Easter Monday, my father's ministry had been used to trace out the whole of his case. He couldn't understand the detail in which it had traced his case out till he read the biography. Alfred lost his father in the First World War, and suffered greatly. Then he realised that my own father had lost his father at the age of 5 and walked through bitter sorrows in the loss of a brother and a sister. And then he realised what lay at the root of all the ministry that entered his soul that day and touched his case. God's servants have passed a particular way, the things they've handled. That's theirs, and they can preach of them. It doesn't come out so much in them speaking in detail of it. It comes out in the hearts of the hearers as they feel the savour of it sanctified in their souls. And they realise the servants of God have passed a deep way. Beautiful words. The life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, how it is his life, his intercession in heaven above, which is the life of his church here below. And finally at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The union that he prayed for as he concluded the Last Supper with that prayer recorded in the 17th of John before he entered Gethsemane. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made one in us. Oh, the only way to that union is the path of suffering sorrow. It is the cup that my Father giveth me. Think it not strange. It is ordained of God. The way has to be walked out. The sorrows must be crucifying. It is to be a pathway alone. We have to learn apart. We have to walk with him apart. Beautiful word in the Song of Solomon. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? It is the bride of Christ. A heart full of sorrows, but she is leaning on the man of sorrow. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. It was true he was. But he equally came that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest and enter in feelingly into the footsteps of the flock. And as we read in a later chapter in the Hebrews, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without the sin. Beautiful words. Some would not take them literally, but they are to be taken literally. Tempted in all points, all, like as we are, yet without sin. He knoweth the way that I take. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And this last verse is the fellowship that the Lord's dear people have with their Redeemer. And the path has to be walked out to have that fellowship with him. Then one day, at that day, it will be to sing that glorious anthem recorded in the opening book, the opening chapter of the book of the Revelation, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen.